Attention all passengers. The Uber ride for Jeff's rugby team will depart in 5 minutes from platform 15. Your ride comes with 6 toilets and a refreshments carriage that you'll empty within 5 minutes. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber.
You tell her you're exhausted. You cannot sleep. The weight will not move no matter what you do. You feel like a stranger in your own body. She runs some labs. She comes back in a room and says 4 or 5 words that so many women have heard. Everything looks fine, but you don't feel fine. And today's guest has spent her career proving that fine is not the goal, and that the women who are told that they are fine deserve so much better than that answer. My guest today left one of the most prestigious surgical careers in medicine because she could not stay silent about what she kept seeing. Dr. Jessica Duncan is the chief medical officer of Ivan Health, a telehealth platform operating across 49 states, and the lead author of the peer-reviewed research showing 21.8% average weight loss outcomes that outperform landmark GLP-1 clinic trials. Her current focus is the area she believes is the most underserved in all of medicine, women's metabolic and hormone health. Dr. Duncan, welcome to the show. I am so excited to have you here.
Thank you for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
You know, you did not start in hormone health. You started in the operating room. And what, what was that you kept seeing in those pre-op conversations on that scale before surgery that changed everything for you?
Yeah, I spent almost a decade in the operating room as an anesthesiologist, really took care of patients, different ages, all walks of life. And I found that obesity really touched everything that I did, both inside the operating room to how I was managing patients and seeing the physiology right in front of my eyes. But it really struck me when I had pre-op conversations with my patients. And a lot of people find this hard to believe because you're just meeting your anesthesiologist for the first time when you're having surgery. But I found that it was really interesting. They wanted to talk to me about things that were kind of unexpected. And for the most part, it was because, you know, before you go in for surgery, you have to be weighed. That's part of how we dose our medications. So for many patients, they hadn't been weighed in years. They hadn't even thought about it. And then 5-10 minutes later, I come walking in and they wanted to talk to me about it. I, by and large, kept hearing the same thing across the board. I've been hearing the same thing years and years and years from my doctors, eat less, move more, but it wasn't really doing much for them. And so I just really became interested in studying obesity and metabolic health to help me be a better anesthesiologist. I took the obesity boards. I thought, okay, this is just going to really enhance my care as an anesthesiologist. But something within me said, we're not doing this right. I can do more. I can do better. And I decided to completely pivot out of anesthesia and practice obesity care all the time. So that's pivoted into a lot of women's health care, a lot of metabolic health. But that's why I'm here at IVM doing what I do now.
Oh, I love that. Now, what made you walk away from a career of anesthesiology to the fight of completely different battle? Was it basically like you just mentioned, because you just gave the answer, but was it more than that? Was obesity, the fact that, you know, the majority of our society, you know, suffers from obesity? And one thing I found too is that, you know, for a while they were given the impression that obesity is beautiful. It's fine to be big and, you know, not to be discriminatory, but, you know, when you're obese, that's when all the medical problems start to occur. You know, our media was saying one thing, but our body tells you another thing.
Right. So I mean, we know, first of all, that obesity is a chronic disease. It is defined as a disease. We need to treat it as a disease. It is a disease that can contribute to other things down the line, like cardiovascular disease and diabetes. What truly got to me as an anesthesiologist that really kind of solidified my decision to move was I didn't think we were doing enough as a medical community to try to help individuals with obesity, to have open and honest conversations and to give them advice that actually mattered. Now, it's not really our fault in the medical community. We only know what we're taught. For me, obesity was not something that I studied in medical school. I studied it as it pertains to other diseases, but not as a disease process on its own. And I certainly didn't have the toolkit I needed to talk to patients about that and help them manage. You know, I'm a big proponent of comprehensive care, nutrition, exercise, stress management, all the things that go into taking care of someone. I didn't feel like I had that knowledge. So who else does in the medical community? So I felt that it was a bigger, broader mission to do better. And that is really what we do at iVeem Health. And that's specifically what brought me here. But that's sort of my pivot and what inspired me. It's a passion, if you can't already tell.
I could tell. And I'm happy you're doing it, because it really, this is something that really needs to be talked about and action needs to be taken in our states. Now, you talked about a system that treated obesity as a willpower problem rather than a disease. Why has that thinking failed so many women for so long?
I think that when we talk about willpower, we're missing so many things. Even the calories in, calories out don't take into account what our body does to the calories you're putting in. We talk about absorption. We talk about the nutrients that your body needs, how your gut responds, and then how your hormones respond. So when we just think of it in simplistic terms, eat less, move more, first of all, that's not individualized. What I need for movement is different than what you need for movement, but it's also not taking into account the big kind of elephant in the room, which is your hormones, your metabolism, your absorption, your gut. It's just way, way oversimplified. And so frankly, we've seen it time after time. It just doesn't work. Patients come back, they're frustrated because they only got one bit of advice that doesn't meet the whole picture.
Right, exactly. Now, what changes when a doctor finally looks at a patient's weight as a medical condition rather than a moral failing?
I think everything changes. So I think that when you approach a patient from a position of this isn't what you have to do, this is what we are going to do. We are going to partner together to figure out what's going to work for your body. And I think that when you free them up from these outdated dogmas and biases, and when you approach it as, hey, let's talk about this and see what we can do differently, it opens everything up. I think their guard comes down. I think they, you know, and I typically start with a simple question is, how does your body feel? And 9 times out of 10, the talk about their weight and how it's impacting their body and their health is going to come out. So I start from a very disarming type of question. But I think if you start there and allow them to talk and approach it with, I know that most doctors may tell you to move more and eat less, but that's not how I operate. Does that sound like something you want to talk more about? I find that they tend to open up a whole lot more.
Right. I agree. Now, this is the conversation I know every woman listening, you know, has heard or is very needed to have. Like, she comes in feeling terrible. She comes in feeling exhausted, weight not moving, sleep disrupted, mood off, body unrecognized. The labs come back and everything says everything is fine. You know, why is fine not actually fine? And what is that doctor missing?
Well, I will say it loud and clear. Fine is not good enough. Accepting what we think is normal aging or a normal part of life misses that symptoms of aging and hormone changes and weight, all of these things are really debilitating for most people. And it doesn't have to be the way we live life. So I think we typically think about fine in the medical community as your labs are fine, everything's normal, nothing's acutely wrong, it's just expected. But that doesn't mean that life isn't hard and your daily life isn't harder because of those things. I mean, think about things like brain fog. I mean, that makes it really difficult. It would certainly make it really difficult in the job that I'm doing and for most other individuals. Mood changes. I mean, these things are really, really impactful. So I think when we think about fine, it's not the bar that we really want to be meeting. I don't really necessarily ask my patients, are you fine? I say, how's your body feeling? Well, how's it comparing to how it felt 5 years ago or 10 years ago? And when I actually just let them answer, the whole picture changes.
Right. Oh, I love that. Now, what does a truly complete picture of a woman's metabolic and hormone health look like?
So you really have to think about sort of all body systems and how it fits together. And it's complex. I typically start with asking somebody, like I said, to tell me how their body is feeling. And then I'm already thinking in my head how to put the things that they're telling me into different buckets and thinking about how they interact. I think labs can be very beneficial as a starting point or as giving you a one moment in time point, but it can't be the only thing. So it really is symptom led for me, asking patients how they're feeling in different aspects of life and how they're able to do the things that they want to do. I mean, I think it's another important question to say, what would you want to do that your body's not allowing you to do? Always have to talk about sleep. And I mean, I'm big on sleep. And I always talk about stress, anything external that's going on. We talk a lot about inflammation. So it really has to be a complex, complete picture. And I like to talk about nutrition too and how they're moving their body. And I think if you hit those, the highlights there, you're getting a much more comprehensive picture already.
No, I agree. Now, this is for the listeners. If you have ever sat in a doctor's office feeling terrible and been told that your labs look normal, this conversation is for you. Follow this podcast right now. Every week, we bring you conversations that give you real answers, not just ones that fit into a 15-minute appointment. Now, I want to talk about like what actually is happening for women in midlife, because I think most women have no idea how connected all of this is. You know, like hot flashes, sleep disruption, weight changes, fatigue, shift in the body composition, how all of these are connected and why most women are being treated for each one separately instead of all together. Because like when I was going through, you know, just when I started perimenopause, I had no clue what was going on. Like I had no clue whatsoever. All I saw was a lot of changes in my body going on. I had no clue why they were happening. And there was, you know, and when I went to specific type of doctors, all they saw was a small triangle. And right away, they're like, oh, we'll put you on birth control. I'm like, birth control? I'm like, why do you want to put me on birth control? You know, and then all of a sudden, they're talking about a partial hysterectomy or a hysterectomy. And I'm like, I'm looking at them like they're nuts, you know, like, you know, so I think a lot of women are also getting misinformation because they're going to the wrong doctors and not getting the specific care that they need from doctors that are well educated in those fields. So, you know, how are all these things connected, and why are most women being treated just for each one separately or instead of all together? Because I think that's important.
Very important. And I think the one thing that I'll hear a lot from patients and kind of a starting point for me is they'll say, I'm doing all the same things that I've usually done, but my body is not responding in the way it normally responded. So you know something's going on. It's kind of hard to put your finger on it. But I think when we think about estrogen as one of the primary hormones that starts to decline in perimenopause and then through menopause, it is linked to so many different things. So one thing I hear a lot from my patients is, I'm really holding on to fat in my abdomen where I didn't have it before. And that can be a direct effect of lower estrogen levels. So yes. When your estrogen levels are higher, you'll preferentially store fat in the hips and thighs. When that changes with perimenopause and menopause, it starts depositing in the abdomen, and that's really hard to fight against. And then, of course, there's the sleep disruption aspect, and I am a big believer in healthy sleep. It compounds everything. It raises your cortisol level. It increases your appetite. So now you're fighting an uphill battle. And then, of course, as hormones decline, your muscle mass starts to decrease. It becomes even harder to maintain muscle mass. Muscle is a metabolic powerhouse. It's helping you to stay healthy and keep your weight under control. So when you lose that, it becomes even harder. So I think that, you know, we're often saying these are just age-related changes, just have to deal with it. Well, I don't believe in that. And like you mentioned, I believe that you really cannot approach just hormone health in a vacuum. When I'm thinking about my patients' hormones, I'm also thinking about their cortisol, their stress hormones. I'm thinking about their metabolic health, their heart, their bone health. And so I think that, taking a comprehensive approach like we do at IVM is very important. Typically, you will hear, you know, maybe a primary care doctor or an OBGYN is managing hormones, and there's an endocrinologist. There's so many different specialties, but, you know, that's okay. But then there has to be some overlap and crosstalk, and you have to advocate for yourself so that everybody kind of knows what's going on. But it's just not something that can be thought of in a vacuum. It impacts so many body systems.
I agree. And I don't think people realize how much your hormones affect you. Your whole body is controlled by hormones. Like, I think it
Yes.
isn't it like 400 plus for your, just your estrogen alone that control, you know,
Yes.
like over 400 plus things in your body. And,
Yes.
when you start to decline and your hormones start to go, go down, your whole body is affected by this. Yeah, everything. One part of your body is not functioning, it's going to affect the other part, and it's going to just be an endless cycle. You know, like you said, it affects your. I remember always having straight hips like my father. Then one day looking in the mirror, and I had these hips on the side. I'm like, where the hell did these things come from?
Right.
And so many different things, and even your patience level and your clarity and
Absolutely.
your mood swings. There's so many things, when it comes to, what does it look like when a woman finally gets to the doctor who looks at her and looks at her at the full picture instead of just looking at each individual thing like we were just talking about?
Well, first of all, they tend to be incredibly relieved. That's the first thing. So when we start talking about how everything fits together and how we approach care, I see it with my patients all the time. They almost take a deep breath and they say, oh, okay, this is a little different. And I will say there are a lot of doctors who have been reluctant to even discuss hormone health in the past because of some of the warnings that had previously been on some estrogen products. So when you can talk about it openly with somebody, there is a tremendous sense of relief. And I think that women are looking for a more comprehensive approach. I don't think that they want to have one person managing this. They want someone who knows everything. We like to share. We like to be open about everything that we have going on. And I think when they find a provider who wants to hear all those things and figure out how they interact, there's a tremendous sense of relief. And I'll tell you, once I see a patient, and typically they'll come back in about 4 weeks' time or check in and tell us how they're doing, and whether that be a combination of weight loss care, hormone care, whatever the case may be, they have, it is such a big impact in just 4 weeks' time that they generally are like, why didn't I think to do this sooner? Why didn't I do this sooner? They're so relieved and they're so happy that we finally started to get things under control. And what's another interesting thing is, sometimes the main focus they're coming in to talk about hot flashes. That's the most typical one that I hear about.
Yeah.
Once we start getting that under control, I'm not sure if it's that just that they believe and they trust that we're here to kind of go through one by one, or if they're just noticing other things because the big thing is away, they'll typically bring up other things. You know what else has been bothering me? I noticed this. I noticed my muscle mass, my libido is low. Can we talk about that too? And then it really opens the door to making sure that all of their symptoms are well controlled.
I find that, even with my own friends, like, some of them had really bad hot flashes, but yet they were, just wanted to deal with it, and they then go to an actual professional doctor and get help for it. Do you see that a lot of, women tend to wait a while before they come to see you, or have you heard from other women that they're afraid? Because I think you need to realize that, it's okay to have a fear, but you're going to feel better. And that you're there to help them, because I feel like, I'm not sure why, but they start getting the hot flashes, they start getting the symptoms, but yet they're hesitant to want to see a professional that can help balance them.
Yeah. Well, I think that's probably for two reasons. I think for one thing, it's not something that a couple of generations ago we talked about openly. So our moms and our grandmoms may have seen their grandmothers just kind of battling through and toughing it out. So it's just not something that we've been conditioned that it's okay to talk about or bring up. We just accept it as a normal part of life. But I think the other big thing is really, this has been a really underserved area. And a lot of that is what I alluded to earlier, is the Women's Health Initiative study that was done in the early 2000s caused a massive overcorrection in hormone prescribing. And that study has come to be, there have been various studies that have come through since then. And we've realized that the study was, misrepresented certain patient populations, was not representative of the women that were treating. There was some data analysis issues. There was specifics to the formulations that were being studied. But what it did was it led to a black box warning being placed on estrogen products, specifically in terms of stroke, clot risk, breast cancer, and cognitive dysfunction, that has since been removed by the FDA. So for decades, there was a tremendous fear in women that they should not be on hormone therapy because of those risks, when realistically that has now been removed, and it's really opened the door to have individual discussions and say, okay, well, these are the risks that we do know. This is the reality. Does this work for you and your risk profile, rather than just kind of a blanket approach that set fear in so many doctors and patients alike?
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, one thing too, is that it really bothers me is that you'll go into a store and you'll see the supplement section, and then you'll see, increase your testosterone, help your estrogen, improve your sex life, and take this and take that. And they make it look so great. But, for me, I've done hormone therapy. I still do it. I've been doing it for over 10 years. And you need to be monitored by a doctor. You should always have blood work, because if you have too much of something, it could throw your whole body off. And you have to make sure everything is balanced. You know, can you maybe explain to the public, like, why they shouldn't rely so much on the products they see in a supplement aisle and not try to be their own doctors, and why it's so important to have it monitored?
Yeah, this is a hard one, because I think we're also in a social media world where you might go and see this is working for this person and this might work for me. And we have people kind of selling and affiliates for certain products, and it sounds like it's something really good to try. But when we're talking about hormone health, metabolic health, your health, it's super important that you partner with somebody who knows your risk factors. It's exactly for that reason. Even if it's a supplement, even if it's over the counter, that product doesn't know what your risk factors and needs are. Your provider, your physician does. You can talk together and figure out what's a good routine for you. And I really like supplements, and I think they can be really complementary to hormone health and metabolic care, but I'm really careful about the supplements that I recommend. We at iBeam Health, we have our own supplement line for that reason, because I know that the ingredients are good. I know that the purity is there. I know that they're clean. So I'm very specific about what I recommend. And I don't think that all supplements or anything over the counter is a blanket for everybody. I'm very strategic about when I add supplements and for who, and I'm very specific about the ones we add. So I think that, you think about it, it's over the counter, I'll just grab them, pick them up off the shelf. I think it's important to speak to your doctor about it and say, what do I need? What am I wasting my money on? And what's entirely unsafe for me? And sometimes it's really hard to sort through that on your own.
Yes. I think people have to realize too that many pharmaceutical companies use supplements to make medications. They use it as their ingredients, because supplements have been used for medicines for thousands of years. And, and then if you're taking a medication, it's very easily, and medication can interact with a supplement. And, so people have to be careful on, what they decide to take and check with a doctor before they just, decide to pull it off the counter and take it themselves.
Yes. And I hear this all the time. I'll have friends who will text me and say, hey, I heard about this, on social media. I think I'm going to start it. And then I'm like, wait, don't you have X, Y, or Z? Aren't you taking this medication? You can't take that supplement. I'm like, I'm really glad that they think to reach out to me. They know I'm going to give them honest advice, but if they didn't have me, what would they do? Just give it a try, and potentially there'd be an interaction. So...
Yeah, 100%. Now, for the women listening right now who have been told that she is fine, but she does not feel fine, what questions should she be asking her doctor that she probably is not asking?
Yeah, I think you definitely need to advocate for yourself. And I think even if your doctor says, well, let's start with some lab work, and then tells you, oh, your lab work came back normal, I would ask the very specific question, is there any benefit to addressing my symptoms, even though things look fine or normal? And I think that it's important to get an answer from that and say, is there any benefit to me doing that? And I think that's a good starting question. And I think it's also good, it's a great idea to say, I know that everything is fine, but I don't feel fine, or I'd like to feel better. Can we talk more about that? And I think those are really good open-ended starting points where you're bringing across that it's not good enough for you, and what can we do about it together? And I think starting there is a great starting point.
I love that. Now, what should she be getting tested for that most standard panels miss?
Well, that's a good one. So I think it really depends. Again, this is a tough one because it's really individualized. And I think you can ask your doctor and say, is there anything that you think of that that we could be missing that might not be picked up on a standard panel that you would suggest? Perfect example of this for me is thinking about your gut health or and doing studies to check a gut health. So if I think that somebody really potentially has leaky gut or something that could be contributing there, that's something that I'm already thinking about in my mind that is not something that we typically pick up. I think it's always important to do a comprehensive profile looking at hormones like thyroid hormones, the female reproductive hormones, and then even potentially considering testing for other hormones that are not being tested for. But it's hard for me to say a real blanket rule for everything that should be tested, because I really do think even lab work should be individualized, and I think that's important too.
I agree with you. A lot of times you'll see people go to their primary and their primary looks at their blood work differently than a doctor who is a functional medicine doctor or a doctor who specializes in hormones. Yes. And does other types of procedures, in that realm. So can you explain why it is different to when you go to a doctor like yourself compared to a primary doctor, and that, doctors like yourself usually look to prevent things Yes. And then when they see things, they look to pause or slow down or help, make it go away, a primary doctor just looking, and he stays or she stays in her markers, and usually a lot of times a medication is given right away, to help that situation.
Yeah, so I think the question or the sort of the distinction that I make is what looks normal on your results is not necessarily optimal for you. So I think when we make that distinction between normal and optimal, everything kind of falls into place. So optimal for you takes into account your risk factors, your genetics, what are you at risk for in 5, 10 years, 15 years. It takes into account the environment that you live in, your exposures. It takes into account the other medical conditions that you have, the medications that you're taking, the reproductive phase of life that you're in. So I have patients all the time that have normal estrogen levels, normal progesterone levels, but that might not be optimal for them in their phase of life or another biomarker. But I think it's important when we start thinking about things as optimal is where everything changes. And that's what a more holistic approach takes into account. It's really thinking about the foods that you're eating, the way that you're moving, and all those things are important for finding that optimal level for you, not just what's normal for 99% of people.
Exactly. That's a great answer. And when it is time, when is it time to stop waiting for her current doctor to figure it out?
Well, that is really depends on how you're feeling, I think. But I always advocate for a second opinion if you feel like you're not getting the care that you need. But I should back up and say, first things first, I think having an open conversation with your doctor, and it's okay to say, hey, I don't feel like I'm getting the care that I'm needing, and explain why and say, I think we're not meeting my needs because I have this symptom. I've heard that it's fine, but I don't still feel fine, and I'd like to work on that. And I think it's starting with a conversation. And then if you're still not getting the support that you need, then it would be time to seek a second opinion, is what I always advocate for. And most doctors should not be upset or intimidated by someone getting a second opinion. I've seen this all the time in practice. The vast majority of doctors are like, absolutely. In fact, you might see some surgeons that would say, especially if it's for a bigger, more complex procedure, you should get a second opinion. Ask another doctor what they think. Make sure that you're comfortable with this plan. You shouldn't feel intimidated by that. And if a doctor does, that might be something to think about as well. So I'd say give it one open, honest conversation. See if things pivot. See if you're getting the help and the answers you need. If not, I think it's time to seek a second opinion.
I like that. I think it's very important to, when you have complicated issues or if you're unsure of something or you don't feel right with maybe the answer you got, to go to for a second opinion, and don't be afraid to go to a second opinion. A good doctor is not going to get insulted. A good doctor welcomes that.
Yeah, sometimes they even might suggest someone. I've had friends, I'm thinking of a friend of mine who is an ear, nose, and throat surgeon. They had a very specific person that was fantastic. They'd say, this person is great to go to for a second opinion. I always thought that was wonderful and so disarming.
I agree. Now, you left one of the most prestigious careers in medicine because you could not stay silent. What do you want every woman to understand about what she actually deserves from her healthcare? Not what she has been told to accept, but what she deserves.
Every woman deserves to feel like their best self. And every woman deserves to feel like fine is just not good enough. And now I'm not saying that we're going to feel like we felt when we were 21, but you should feel like you can still do all the things that you want to do. And more important than that, you should feel like your needs are being met by the healthcare community. You should feel like you have a partner. You should feel like you can trust your provider, that they can talk you through just about anything. And that when you're developing a plan of action, you're developing it together. It works for you. It's what your doctor recommends. It may not be the exact plan that they came up with, but you deserve a partner who's going to stay with you and steady with you on that mission of feeling like your best self or getting you where you want to be. You deserve that. Everybody does.
I love that. I love that. Now, can you tell us a little about the services that you provide?
Yes, absolutely. So iBeam Health is a telehealth company. We provide services in 49 states and DC. We are launching our women's health program and next month. We're super excited to do that. And we provide metabolic health, GLP-1 care, and weight loss care. We are a very comprehensive and individualized approach. We're also integrative. We are very focused on lifestyle modification. We have a team of functional health coaches that help guide the lifestyle changes that need to happen as part of all phases of life. And we really look at an individual, what they need, what their risk factors are, and provide that comprehensive, holistic, but individualized care for every single person that we see. And you can come and visit us at ivimhealth.com, IVIM, and we will be happy to have a consultation with you.
I love that. And before we go, if there is maybe one or two things you want people to walk away with from this episode that you feel are very important, what are two things maybe you would like to emphasize?
Fine is not okay. That is the biggest thing for sure. I would say that fine is just not okay. We just really want to make sure that every woman who's been told they're fine and they know they're not, this is the conversation that we want to have. So you can find me on Instagram at drjessica.md. You can find me and my team at ivimhealth.com. You deserve so much more than fine.
I love that. I love that. Like you were saying, and I want everybody to realize that fine is not the goal. Dr. Jessica Duncan left the operating room because she refused to keep watching women arrive at surgery with decades of untreated disease, having been told to come back next year. Today, she reminded us that every woman deserves a doctor who looks at the full picture, not just the labs that fall within the range, not just the symptom in front of them, the whole woman. Dr. Duncan, thank you so much for being on the show today. I want our listeners to know that they can find you at IVIM Health and to connect with you there. And everything you shared today was wonderful. I really think women have to be reminded that there is options and that they shouldn't just settle and that fine is not okay. And that's definitely something I think they need to really wrap in their brains. And for everybody, if this episode gave you the language for something that you have been feeling for a long time, share it with a woman in your life who needs to hear it. I thank you so much for being on the show today. I think the information that you provided today was so well needed. And I see too many women going through different changes in their life. As we get older, things start to change. And it's so important that we know that we have those positive options, that fine is not okay, and that there are people like you who are dedicated to helping them feel better and to helping them feel like themselves again. So I thank you for what you do. And I thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.